Discover insights to boost your business or improve your quality of life right here on the Soar to Success podcast with your host, Pat Altvader.
Leslie Zane is a passionate leader who believes that our potential for success is limitless. After working for blue chip corporations, Leslie founded Triggers, the first woman-owned brand consultancy, to help companies achieve consistent revenue growth. Her endless intellectual curiosity fueled her search to discover the elusive key to changing instinctive customer behavior. Over the past 25 years, Triggers has developed a track record of accelerating growth through its unique expertise in changing brand choice at the instinctive level. What a treat to be able to talk to her today. Leslie, welcome to the Soar to Success podcast. I am so excited to have this conversation with you.
So am I, Pat. Thank you so much for having me on. This is going to be fun.
I think so too. And I think there's so much information that people are going to learn from you. It's going to be absolutely phenomenal. But before we get into your really good meaty stuff, why don't you just tell us what you do and a little bit more about why you do it.
So what I do is I am the founder of a company called Triggers Growth Strategy. We are a brand consulting firm. And what we do is we help our clients, their companies, change prospective customers' behavior so that the client's brand becomes the dominant instinctive choice in a category. I know that's a mouthful.
I know, but I know what you're talking about because I watched your TEDx video, which I am going to put a link for everybody to watch. I think it's really phenomenal.
So dominant instinctive choice, what is that? What that means is when you walk into, let's say, a supermarket and you go to the orange juice aisle and you are reaching for your brand, you just reach. You are on automatic. You're on autopilot. And let's say there's Tropicana there and Minute Maid and private label brands, but you just go in and like you're a robot, you just reach for Tropicana over and over and over again. That means for you, Tropicana is your dominant instinctive choice. And every company wants their brand to be the dominant instinctive choice because it's a continuing revenue stream.
Yeah. And so when we are that robot, we're actually operating from our subconscious. So why don't you talk a little bit about how you learned that this is what we do?
Absolutely. So we have a conscious decision-making process and we have a subconscious one, and they're very different. Mm-hmm. The conscious brain, which is turns on and off, you know, where sometimes we're awake, sometimes we're asleep, it's actually very slow to respond. Mm-hmm. And it's rigid and resistant to change and skeptical. So if you sell to that conscious brain, it goes, wait a minute, I am being sold to, and I am not accepting what you're trying to sell me. And as marketers, we keep doing that. We keep trying to persuade that conscious brain, and we have a really hard time getting anywhere because it's resistant. Mm-hmm. By contrast, the subconscious brain is very malleable. Mm-hmm. Ideas seep in there slowly without our even realizing it, and they get glued to the brand. And when you market to the subconscious brain, because it's not aware, it's on automatically, it's just, you know, you're not even in control of it, you can actually make strides much faster operating there. One way to think about it is that when you go up against the conscious brain, you're being confrontational. When you go up against the subconscious brain, you're being collaborative.
Wow, that's interesting. So a conscious brain is when you're discounting or you're talking to someone and you're willing to do whatever you can to try to get that sale. Is that what you mean?
100%. Exactly. So in financial incentives, you know, buy one, get one free, discounting, couponing, I'm basically throttling you to get you to make a purchase of my brand. I'm persuading you. I'm using superlative claims. We're better than that one. You know, what we wipe out 99% of grease. All of those attack our conscious brain and it's met with resistance.
I'm sorry. Can I interrupt with one thing that, you know, those funnels when you buy something online, and so somebody's selling their book oh, just pay shipping and you get my book. And so you click and say, yes, I'm going to get your book. And then you get another sales page and you go way to the very bottom and it's, you know, yes, buy this. Or there's this little print that goes, no, I don't want to increase my business. Is that, what is that?
I would call that conscious marketing. Yeah. That's the traditional marketing technique. It assumes that we have a funnel, that there even is a marketing funnel where we go from initial consideration, from awareness to consideration to trial, et cetera. We don't have a funnel. There is no such thing. We have a subconscious that's filled with associations. We'll talk about that in a moment. But really, the way to work with the subconscious brain is to collaborate with ideas that are already in there. That's why what I meant by collaborative. You're piggybacking. You're getting your brand to connect with things already in the subconscious. And so there's a match, there's a connection, and it doesn't feel confrontational.
Yes. So give us an example of something that we could relate to.
Sure. So if I'm Dollar Shave Club, this is an example of a brand that kind of came out of nowhere. Okay. And it's a small brand, right? It was completely unknown. Mm-hmm. And they took the marketplace by storm. How did they do that? How did they basically unseat Gillette, a gigantic global company? How did they do that? Well, what they did was they created this video where the founder of the company, the CEO, filmed himself in a warehouse, looking very entrepreneurial, not surrounded by fancy offices. And he started talking about basic quality razors and the kinds of razors that your grandfather used. And he started building positive associations around his brand, and simultaneously, he started giving negative associations to the other brands. He didn't even mention Gillette or Schick, but we knew exactly what he was talking about because he said, you don't need a razor with a flashlight and an air conditioner and a hammer and a screwdriver and a toolbox on it. He basically made Gillette and all those other brands seem like they're over-engineered, mm-hmm. and that you're paying that difference. You're paying that premium for stuff that you don't need. Yeah. And in 2 seconds, he gave positive associations to his brand, negative associations to the competition, and his brand sprouted overnight.
Wow, that's amazing. So how did you come to study all of this?
I've spent my entire life studying brands. Okay. And I started my company in 1995. I had been inside, you know, Fortune 100 marketing companies, you know, great names, blue chip marketers, and I learned a lot from them. But I also saw that a lot of success was hit or miss. Mm-hmm. So like half of the stuff worked, half of it didn't. And I really felt like there was a better way. Back then, I would often be the person in a conference room that had a different perspective than everybody else. It's hard to do that as an employee, as you can imagine. But I became a consultant, and then my ideas started to take hold. But the reason that I left and the reason I started my own company, and by the way, we were the first woman-owned brand consulting firm.
Wow, yay.
The reason that I left was because I really wanted to find a process that would help companies create consistent growth every single time. For me, it wasn't enough to be a brand consulting firm that helps you develop pretty pictures and clever slogans. Mm-hmm. I really wanted to show companies that there's a better way to do this and that it can actually drive consistent growth for your brand every single time.
Yeah. And so that is this process of attaching your brand to their subconscious. And you call it the brand connectome, right? Did I say that right?
That's exactly right.
So tell us what that is.
Yeah. So what the brand connectome is it's an ecosystem or a network of positive associations and negative associations that get glued to your brand over time. So if you're a brand that's been around a long time, like McDonald's or Dove or Nike, it means that you have a pretty large brand connectome because those associations have been accumulating for such a long time. If you're a newer brand, then one of the ways to think about this is that like you're a little sapling just taking root. Mm-hmm. And I liken it to a tree, because the brand connectome needs to be fed positive associations so that it branches out and grows. It's literally organic, and it's a physical thing. This is not a figurative notion, the notion of the brand growth inside the subconscious. It's a physical thing. It has physicality and heft to it. And so our job as marketers is really not to create a clever campaign. Our job as marketers needs to be to understand, what is the health of my brand connectome? What do I do to make it have more positive than negative associations? And how do I get it to grow? Because it turns out that in order to grow out in the marketplace, you first have to grow your brand in the subconscious of your prospective users.
Yes. Oh my gosh. It sounds complicated, though. And can one little thing throw you off track? Like, I can't think of any of those disasters that happened, like Tylenol not admitting a mistake or something. Can that affect the connectome that people have?
That's such a great question. I love that question. So it turns out that the larger your connectome is, the more robust it is, and the more positive associations it has, the more resistant it is to things that go bad. Oh. You can still survive. Mm-hmm. So you want to have a lot of, you know, you can think about it as goodwill. I think about it in terms of positive associations. You want to have a lot of those so that if something should go bad, and things do, you will have enough positive associations that are still there that can override those negative associations. And then you still, of course, have to act ethically and with integrity and do the right things. But that's a great example, because, you know, Tylenol did just that. It had a very large, healthy brand connectome. And so even though there was this terrible thing that happened to it, it was able to survive.
Mm-hmm. So what about a smaller company? How do they start to build up these associations? And what are some examples of things they would do?
Right.
You know, I know it probably depends on what type of business they are, but if you can just talk generically.
Yeah. So if you think about a small brand, they don't have a lot of resources. Mm-hmm. And most companies don't have enough resources. By the way, even the large brands, the large companies that we work with, their biggest complaint is, we don't have enough money. So nobody ever has enough money.
It's a universal thing, huh?
It is universal. But the truth is that what subconscious marketing does is it gives you a competitive advantage, because it means that you can make headway faster and more easily without spending a lot of money. The mm-hmm. old traditional way of thinking about it is that the only way you're going to get a larger share of market is to have a larger share of voice, mm-hmm. which means spending more money on advertising. That is an old-fashioned notion. The question is not how many messages do you send. The question is, do those messages connect with the brain's behavior change mechanism? That's what you want to do. So for small companies, this is great news, because it means that they actually can get a subconscious advantage by getting their brand connectome to branch out before their competitors do, or instead of their competitors, like what Dollar Shave Club did.
Mm-hmm. And so would an example be like if a small company decided they would give 10% of their profits to a charity or something? Is that an example of what you're talking about?
Yes. Yes, it is. I mean, some of the small brands out there that have been disruptors are, you know, Baby Gannix and Sunbum, The Honest Company. And they didn't spend a lot on advertising at the beginning or on marketing, but they flooded our brains with all these positive associations, free from harmful chemicals and sustainability messages, eco-friendly, and a lot of other kinds of paraben-free, all those kinds of things that people are looking for today. And so they were able to make their brand connectomes branch out without actually spending as much money as the competition. And they were able to make inroads in some really large dominant players in those categories.
Yeah, that is really something. And so what about stories? Everybody's talking about the story of your brand or your brand story. So how does that relate to what you're talking about?
So storytelling is very, very powerful. But the story itself needs to be comprised of content that connects with our brand connectome, right?
Yeah.
So the story you can think of is absolutely relevant. That's the overarching idea and a through line that you're going to have about your brand. But we have a very particular approach about what's inside that story. Mm-hmm. And it's everything from the insight to the benefit to the reason to believe, you know, the facts about your brand and, you know, why can I believe that this really does what you say it does, imagery, metaphors, all different really types of codes and cues. It's the codes and cues that companies don't spend enough time focusing on. We call them triggers. But what triggers do...
That's the name of your company, huh? That's where that came from.
That is where that came from. But we have a very particular definition for a trigger. A trigger has to have a large amount of positive associations connected to it. You know, an example in the bottled water category would be the snow-capped mountain, right? You just look at the snow-capped mountain and you know what that means.
Yeah.
Cold, fresh, pure, pristine, eco-friendly, natural, all these positive associations. So if I connect my brand to the snow-capped mountain, I'm going to inherit all of those positive associations by association.
Yeah.
And that really is going to help grow my brand. There are two things that drive the growth of brands. You need to have the largest footprint in the brain, the largest physical footprint. So more, a greater amount of branches holding the associations, and the ratio between the positive and negative associations has to be higher.
Yeah.
More positive than negative. Mm-hmm. So those two things, it's simple. It's actually not very complex. It's those two things. If you do that, your brand will grow.
So how does somebody go about doing that? They hire you to help to work with them to figure those associations out?
That's exactly right. Where we start is we understand where you are today.
Mm-hmm.
So before we can come up with a solution, we need a diagnosis.
Mm-hmm.
And the problem with most research today is that it just scratches the surface and it doesn't get into those subconscious associations that the brain has actually created. See, a lot of what's inside the brand connectome is not things that the brand has communicated in advertising that they control. It's stories that the brain has created about the brand.
Yeah.
And so you need to understand those. And so we map the brains of the current customers and the prospective customers. We also map the brains of their competitors' brands so that we can understand why they're holding on, why that consumer is using that brand instead of ours. And when we look at these maps, it's extremely revealing because you're actually looking at the barriers and drivers of your business at the subconscious level.
Wow.
It's truly the most important measure or metric of a brand is what is going on with that brand connectome. It's the most important barometer of health of your brand, more than your P&L. This is where the growth starts. Because if your growth target, your prospective customer, doesn't have a healthy brand connectome about your brand before you market to them, the money that you spend on marketing is going to hit a brick wall.
Uh-huh.
They actually need to be positively biased toward you.
Yeah. Wow. And so do you do that by surveying people?
We use all different kinds of techniques. We do both qualitative and quantitative types of research.
Mm-hmm.
But the most important research we do that is the most revealing here is called memory elicitation.
Ooh, this is getting good.
It's a big mouthful. But memory elicitation is basically going deeper and deeper into people's memories, the layers of memory that they have about a brand. Some going as far back as childhood, if it's a brand that they used, you know, in their parents' house. And you see all different kinds of things in there. You know, what's so interesting about this is, you know, if you look at, for example, Apple and its brand connectome. Mm-hmm. You would think that a brand connectome is just about the company's product or about its packaging or about its logos. Do you know what is one of the most interesting things in the Apple brand connectome or the iPhone brand connectome? Mm-mm. People's grandmothers.
Their grandmothers?
Their grandmothers, because a lot of people teach their grandmother how to FaceTime so they can communicate with them.
That's so true.
It is. And so, like, you're looking at these brand connectomes among, you know, consumers and prospective customers, and you're saying, like, what are people's grandmothers doing in there? This is Apple. And it turns out there are just all these associations that people have with brands that are really powerful that the brands need to know that current techniques just don't get at.
Yeah. You know, that is so true. I have a 93-year-old mother, and she has an Apple phone that she barely knows how to use, but she does know how to do that.
There you go.
Because people there want it to be able to communicate.
That means now. Absolutely. That means your grandmother is in your brand connectome for the iPhone.
So
I mean, your mother.
Mother, right. Yeah. So you mentioned that blue chip marketers aren't all using this fabulous technique. Why is that?
Well, when you think about it, traditional marketing theory was developed in the 60s and 70s, before we had brain science. Mm-hmm. And those theories have really become the training for business schools and blue chip marketers alike. And we're taught to persuade, to use these financial incentives, to use superlative claims. I mean, think about even just the notion of competitive advantage. Mm-hmm. Every business school teaches competitive advantage. And what we were taught is that you can only get competitive advantage two ways. Either you're the low-cost player or you're highly differentiated, like actually differentiated. Mm-hmm. Well, we know from our work that that's not true at all. You could be a parity product and you could have a subconscious advantage and have perceived superiority. And similarly, you could be a product that is superior, but nobody knows it, and you're perceived as parity. Mm-hmm. So really, subconscious advantage is much more important. Well, it's as important, but really needs to be the new way that we think about brand building and business building. Subconscious advantage is more powerful than competitive advantage.
And so when are the schools going to catch up?
I think we have to keep bringing them the brain science that we now have from behavioral economics and psychology and neuroscience. I wrote an article about this in Knowledge at Wharton with Professor Michael Platt about a year ago. It's called Cracking the Code on Brand Growth. And so we bring this obviously to the attention of our clients. And really that's the mission that I am on personally. I am a champion of trying to get this new way of thinking into companies, because honestly, it's based on brain science and it works, and it would enable them to do so much more with less. And that means hiring more employees, being able to hire more employees, growing faster, the economy picks up. It's kind of good for everybody.
Yeah. Wow. Well, good luck with your mission. So tell me about COVID-19 now, and how do you think that's driving consumer behavior?
Yeah. So very interesting. What we're seeing is that there are two types of instincts that are very much fighting each other right now. First, we have our survival instinct, and that is a very powerful instinct. And that is causing us to seek safety and protection, be concerned about our health, go inside, in some ways kind of pull the covers over our heads. Yeah. And that is why the economy is obviously not doing well right now. That instinct is very powerful. And there's a whole network of associations connected to that. I call it the COVID connectome. Uh-huh. There's a connectome for everything, by the way. The other instinct that we have, which is also very powerful, is the human desire for progress, the human desire to get out there and achieve and move forward. Mm-hmm. And so these two forces are fighting against each other right now. And I talk about it as, you know, instincts in flux. Because the question is, which one is going to win? And we cannot recover as a country until the perseverance part of our connectome dominates the preservation part of the connectome. That's what has to happen. And the way to do that is companies need to give people the confidence that they can go out there. They need to make them feel safe and protected and let them know that they're going to be okay. And at the same time, inspire them to move forward.
Mm-hmm. And how are they going to do that right now?
So all brands, I think, need to be communicating with their customers, and they need to be very observant of how people's instincts are changing and what they're interested in and how their sentiments are changing. Any brand that really isn't thinking about reinventing itself to stay relevant at this time is probably going to be left behind. Mm-hmm. Everybody needs to do that. That's what we're working on with our clients right now. Mm-hmm. How do you stay relevant? If you're a COVID uncorrelated business, yeah. What I mean by that is you're an airline or a hotel, a gym brand, LA Fitness, Equinox. If you're a COVID uncorrelated brand, then your job is to figure out how do you become correlated?
Yeah.
How do you connect with the changing instincts of people so that you can stay relevant at this time? Mm-hmm. And if you're a business that's COVID correlated, meaning that you're in good shape. You found the silver lining of COVID. Mm-hmm. Your business is way up. You could be a disinfectant, a meat company, a vitamin company, a lot of food brands, toilet paper. those are the businesses that are COVID correlated. Those businesses, they need to not sort of sit on their laurels. They need to think about how do I take this amazing gift that I've been given, and how do I transition those people who have one foot in my door from being transactional purchases to being instinctive purchases? How do I get those people to become long-term customers instead of just a short-term bump?
Yeah, that's really interesting, especially about toilet paper. I mean, do you think that the brands that you can find on the shelves right now are the ones that are going to survive and get a bump up versus the ones that are not able to supply the stores?
I think supply is obviously critical. There's a global supply chain crisis going on. But I don't necessarily think that is the only thing. Mm-hmm. Because the brands that people are buying, some of them are the smaller brands that they might not have bought before. The brands that kind of went first, that got purchased first, were the legacy brands. Yeah. That people felt very comfortable and safe with, make them feel secure. So there was a lot of that going on. But when those ran out, they switched to some of the newer brands that were less familiar. Mm-hmm. But I think that this is all in flux. And I think that both of them have a chance to still succeed, as long as they do the right things and connect with people's changing instincts.
Yeah. Wow. So Leslie, you mentioned that this is a whole new way to do marketing. So what's the how-to?
Well, the good news is that once you understand how the brain works and that it is our subconscious that's dictating our choices, there's a whole new set of rules for marketing. And that marketers need to understand, and that business leaders need to understand in order to grow their businesses faster. And I happen to have, the 5 new rules of marketing in a PDF that I can offer to your listeners at LeslieZane.com.
Oh, excellent. That is great. We'll make sure that everybody goes and gets that. That sounds fabulous. Good. Good. Well, one last question I always ask everyone who's on this podcast with me. What are 3 traits that you think people need to have in order to really soar to success in their entrepreneurship journey?
I love that question. I think today, and maybe some of this was always true, but I think particularly today, the 3 things are integrity, authenticity, being true to yourself. People can smell a fake a mile away. And passion for what you do. And you know what's so interesting about that, Pat?
Yeah.
I actually think those are the same 3 traits that brands need to be successful.
Yeah.
People and brands both have to have personalities. They both do have personalities, and they both need to deliver, I think, on those three things: integrity, authenticity, and passion.
Yeah, fabulous. Thank you. That is really great. Good. Well, thanks so much for being with me. What's the best way for people to reach you?
Two ways, I would say. They can link with me on LinkedIn. I love to meet new people. I'm happy to have a conversation. So Leslie Zane on LinkedIn. And then at my two websites are triggers.com and lesliezane.com. And there's a way to contact me through there as well.
Okay, fabulous. Well, thank you so much for taking the time to talk to me today. I learned a lot. I'm sure our listeners will think it's really fabulous too.
Thank you so much, Pat. It was a pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Okay, bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to the Soar to Success podcast. For more insights into growing your business or improving your quality of life, visit soartosuccessmagazine.com and subscribe to the Soar to Success podcast on iTunes.